From sea to shining sea, America's favorite uncle, Bumpkin Bob.
Hey, y'all, this is Bumpkin Bob coming to you from the Bumpkin Media Studios here in Siloam Springs, Arkansas. Joining me today in studio is our manager, producer, slash oldest son, Luke. We're going to change our format up a little bit today. We're going to have a questions and answer section and probably last the whole hour. Hopefully the camera won't break because, you know, Greg's men are known for their empty wallets and strikingly good looks. So we hope it doesn't tear the camera up having two of us out here. But anyway, welcome, Luke,
to this side
of the camera.
Thanks for having me out here today. And I know we've had a lot of questions from a lot of you viewers, so we hope to kind of go through a little bit of backstory and kind of just get some general things answered for you guys.
Cool. Well, let's jump right off into it.
Well, let's start right out with one of the biggest things. You know, obviously, there's a lot of internet shows out there. There's a lot of YouTube-type stuff. So why on earth do we do what we do? Why? What is our why? What are we trying to accomplish here?
Well, I think the why is we're trying to preserve not only our family history, my history, but Arkansas history in general. We've all had those people in our lives, whether it's parents, grandparents, an uncle, a coworker, just somebody that has touched our lives, told stories, gave background to themselves or whatever the case may be, and then they've passed on, and years later you're thinking, man, I wish somebody would have recorded him telling this or her talking about this, because I know, like everybody else, and I'll just use my grandma Parks. I've talked about her on this before as an example. You know, she told stories that even I've been accused of having a really good memory about this kind of stuff anyway, but some of the stuff she told, I can't even remember. And it's like, man, I wish I'd have thought, you know, back in the day to turn on a little cassette recorder, you hit the play and record button at the same time and record some of the things she talked about and the life that she led.
Yeah, well, and I think we've discussed before how my grandparents, you know, your parents' age, have been through a lot in their lifetime, but even your grandparents' age, you know, the amount of change that they saw through their lifetime from literally horse and buggy to up to what we're doing now, where you can have your own home studio producing all kinds of films.
Yeah.
It's been drastic. So a lot of that stuff just kind of gets lost.
Yes, it does.
Well, let's start out a little bit. One of the things everybody wants to know is some background, some story about how did Bob grow up, kind of a little bit about your life. So kind of walk us through that.
Well, most people know that I deal with daily that I was born over at Clinton, Arkansas, in kind of the north central part of the state. And I think we left there when I was about three. My sisters can probably tell us better. But, you know, and that was, I was born in 1964, probably ended up in Little Rock in that area about 69 or 70 is when we settled there. Another big part of my life was for the next 9 years. I mean, from the time I was in elementary school to junior high school, we lived in the trailer park.
It's trailer hood.
The trailer hood, yeah, A&M Trailer Park, Marietta Circle. There in Southwest Little Rock, so you're going to hear a lot about that. Being that we lived there that long, I went to Cloverdale Elementary and Cloverdale Junior High. People there in Little Rock will be familiar with those schools. Ended up going to and graduating from Mills, Wilbert E. Mills to be more exact, in the Pulaski County Special School District. All the guys I work with get a kick out of that. I ended up, same year, 1984, going to work for Arkansas Electric Co-ops in the transformer shop and getting married. And
which for any of our viewers out there and new viewers, we have some old episodes with some Arkansas Electric stories, so you need to check those out.
Yeah, we do. Ended up living in Little Rock for about 13 years. Actually lived at Hensley. I mean, people are going to be like, where the hell is Hensley? It's kind of between Little Rock and Pine Bluff, which we need. There's a story about that in my current employment, and we'll have to get to that. Ended up moving to Barreville for a couple of years, and we owned a Western store, and then also ran a hotel and restaurant with my ex-wife. Ended up in 99 moving over to Springdale, and then eventually in 2000 bought a house here in Siloam. That same year, 99, I went to work for Industrial Electrical Contractors out of Lowell, and that's where I've been ever since. And it's the man who owned it that we'll have to tell the Pine Bluff story. Some of the Pine Bluff story. He recently passed away, and again, that goes back to what we're trying to preserve. I mean, there's some things he did and said that we'll have to get on film so that I can keep remembering them.
Right. Well, so what kind of got this whole thing started? How did you move from working in the electrical trade to sitting behind a camera? Kind of give us some of that backstory.
Well, I've been told for years by some of the guys that work with me, mostly by a man named Justin and another one named Dustin. I referred to them as the Ustins when they were working for us. But they were like, I would go off on these comedic rants or sometimes pissed off rants on job sites. And they're like, Bob, you need to be putting this on film and get it on YouTube or something. Everybody needs to hear this. So, you know, that rocked on for several years, them telling me this things, you know, telling me this stuff. And the last few years I've had a pretty hard time here and there off and on with arthritis. And I guess it was Christmas of 2016. Luke, and I'm going to give Luke over the next few minutes a lot of credit for all this. Over Christmas holidays, no, it's a lot of credit. Over Christmas holidays, this whole thing was kind of cooked up as far as
Christmas
2016 of what we should be doing with this show. And the idea was kind of formed. Plans started being made. The wheels and the cogs started to turn, and through him, you know, you fast forward, everybody thinks this is just, we grabbed a GoPro and went, and you see people that probably do that, but you can tell by their quality of their film and their audio that that's what they're doing. Not that it's bad, but it's just not professional. And hopefully we come across as trying to be a little professional. But, you know, Luke got this all organized. We actually turned a bedroom into a studio. We've got sound insulation on the walls. We've got this backdrop, the desk, the camera, the lightings. He really did all that and engineered this whole thing. We have a professional soundboard in here. It's pretty cool.
We'll have to do a studio walkthrough.
We're going to have to one of these days. But that all started, I mean, like I said, the wheels started turning Christmas of 2016. We started filming some stuff probably in March, April, just little things. And actually, the first things were filmed with the camera on a laptop, actually. And some of that got saved, some of it didn't, but the actual archived episodes didn't really get started being on digital print, if that's the correct terminology, until August or September of 2017.
Yeah.
And that, you're watching this, you're on our webpage. I mean, the webpage and everything Luke did. I have no computer.
Through a website builder. It's not difficult.
I'm computer literate. He's the man. This works. He's our driving force. I just get in front of the camera and run my mouth. Which like you're I
pretty
said,
good at that.
I'm good at three things: drinking beer, sitting on my ass, and running my mouth. So here we go.
Well, I think some of those, and actually, a couple of the green screen episodes are in the bonus features, but those probably got filmed over the summer. And then the first actual episode that we have under the show section was September.
Yeah.
Before that got kicked off. So, I mean, there's definitely a lot of work. We've went through a lot of iterations. We've always kind of said, you know, we've had a problem of trying to make it perfect before we got it going. But eventually you just have to jump off the bus and just start going. So that's what we did. That's what we did. So what about, you know, there's obviously when you're doing some of this stuff, kind of how you envision it and how reality actually happens. So what has been some of your kind of the differences between expectation and reality as you've kind of been part of the behind the scenes and the coming up with the show and actually filming?
Well, the reality of it is it's harder than you think it is. I mean, it
takes a lot to get in front of a camera and just start talking.
It does. It really does. People don't realize that. I've actually had some people, because in certain social settings, they're like, man, you're so shy. And it's like, it's not that I'm shy. It's just I'm reserved in certain social settings, and I don't just, you know, act a fool, so to speak. But kind of in this format, that's kind of what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to get up here and run my mouth. But that being said, I mean, it's hard to – that's not how I want to say it. You don't realize how much research and prep time goes into – actually doing an hour show. I mean, you have to be on top of your game. You want to be fluid.
You have a day of prep for every hour of talking.
Exactly. It's like, it's crazy. And again, I didn't realize how hard it is. My hat goes off to the people who have done podcasts, video casts, video blogs, whatever, that are successful at it. Because I know now how much work you're having to put into it. It's not just...
And we're not even scratching the surface yet.
It's not just a run and gun kind of thing.
No.
And I really believe this. I still watch a lot of this stuff on YouTube and have joined websites that I'm interested in. And you can tell when somebody's just running and gunning and not putting their full effort into it.
Yeah. Yeah.
They don't have their facts straight on the front end, and they're just rambling.
Well, now you gave us a little bit of kind of your background, and for anybody that's familiar with the show and to the new ones that aren't, you talk a lot about the family. You give a lot of family stories, and some of them can be a little personal and a little embarrassing.
Yeah.
So what kind of feedback have you gotten from the family? I mean, has there been positive? Have you had some negatives?
Actually, we have had no negatives. I mean, that's been the good thing. And basically, I should have said this when we were talking earlier about kind of my background. I mean, I have three older sisters that I grew up with, and then the nieces and nephews. We're all a pretty close family. And I've had nothing but positive reactions from them. As you know, the lead-in music is from Brian Kinder, who's my brother-in-law. There's also, we use that song, the Razorback song, because me and Luke both love it. But there's also a song that he wrote specifically for the Bumpkin Bob show that will be used at some point. We have plans for that. We're not going to let that out of the bag just yet, but we do have plans for it. But
be,
know,
be ready for a change.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Exactly. But, yeah, from my sisters and my nieces and nephews, I've had great response. Extended family, you know, like cousins and things. And I wish I'd have thought about it beforehand. I have a cousin who sent us an email that just blew me away when Luke read it to me about, I can't remember exactly how he said it, but he said something about, I've been around a lot of storytellers in my life, but
you do a good job.
You're the best. And I'm like, man, that's just the best compliment I could have got.
We won't call you out right now.
Yeah, exactly. We won't put you on the spot. But it's just, we've had great response, you know. And And they've been forthcoming when I've asked advice as far as, you know, do you remember when such and such happened and that kind of stuff? And it's really cool that they, well, I remember it this way. And
now, I will say I've been a little shocked about the positive responses from everybody. But at the same time, does that ever kind of surprise you a little bit? Because growing up, all I remember you as is the harasser of the family. And not just immediate family, but the extended family. So does it shock you that people are that forthcoming with you after all you've done is harass them all your life?
Yeah. Well, and you know, and him calling me a harasser of the family, it's like it was all done in fun. I mean, I poke at kids and adults literally all the time. I mean, that's just what I do. I used to tell my kids I only had them so I'd have somebody to harass.
I believe it.
That's just the way it was. I mean, I'm just, you know, always got a grin on my face. It's kind of like working. You know, family's kind of like working. If I ain't having fun, I'm not going to do it. So it's like, well, that's kind of weird, isn't it? It's like, yeah, but you might as well have fun when you're with the people you're with. And
oh, yeah.
And there again, he's calling me the harasser. I've got three kids, and all three of them do the same shit I always did. So they learned it well, Weed Hopper. And some of my nephews are pretty funny, too. They all have their moments.
They think they're funny.
They think they're funny. And I'm telling you right now.
One of them wants to be the Pope.
One of them wants to be a Pope. That's right. He did. We'll have to tell that one of these days. Another one is I won't go into details. He's just a police officer. But he has got some hilarious stories. And we're going to tell some of those stories on here. We may even get him to sit down and actually.
Oh yeah, you'll be interviewed at some point.
A little
point,
interview
man.
With
you know
us
who you are,
and get him on camera because he is hilarious,
funny looking at least, if nothing else.
Yeah.
Now I will say it's, and I've even been, you know, I've been impressed with the behind the scenes. You know, when we're doing kind of some of our rundowns occasionally, is figuring out what we're going to talk about that week. So it's like, where do you just continually come up with this material? You're always able to pull something out of your ass.
Yeah. Well, most of it's just memory. I mean, I'm one of those people that most stuff I hear, I retain. It sticks to me, especially the stuff I've lived through. I mean, when you're stuck out in the middle of the boondocks in a pickup truck, and you know, it's getting dark, and it's getting scary, and you know how it is. It's like you retain that kind of shit. And that's the same way as going back to being harassed. You know, my brother-in-law's growing up harassed me as much as I harass my kids. And you just, that stuff sticks with you, you know? And then there again, about the political stuff we talk about, the Razorbacks, when we talk about them, I mean, that shit you can't make up. It's no. Right off the news. It's like, there it is.
Now, I'm glad you brought up the Razorback point, because that makes a real smooth transition for
okay.
me here. So,
open the door for
me and a lot of people in the family have known, especially with your dad, with Grandpa, you have been an absolute hellion when it comes to the Razorbacks. And I feel like that only in the past few years have you become a fan again. So kind of walk us through that.
Well, okay, again, that goes back to the harassing deal. I not only harassed my kids, I harassed my parents. And the whole deal with the Razorbacks, and I guess it was because we lived so far away, you know, 3 hours from any of them, that it was just fun when the Razorbacks lost to harass them. There for a while, the
so
only
you made a lot of phone calls.
Yeah,
what you're saying.
The only time I called my dad there for a while was when the Razorbacks or the Dallas Cowboys lost, because he was also a big Dallas Cowboy fan, and not just. I mean, a lot of people. Well, because of the
Jerry Jones connection,
but he was a fan before Jerry Jones. I mean, he was always a Dallas Cowboy fan, and It just was natural. And we'll tell a quick look. Let me just tell a quick little story.
Yeah, go right ahead.
The Razorbacks, and this was probably in the early 2000s, were playing Georgia, and they were down pretty bad at halftime. So I got all three of my kids in the living room and called my dad and had my kids sing "Who Let the Dogs Out."
I don't remember that.
He was not happy. I got called. You little son of a bitch, and he just slammed the phone down. And it was like, you know, but it was done in good fun. And I used to tell people, and I still am. I say I'm a closet Razorback fan. And I guess really the last few years,
there really hadn't been nothing to be proud of.
I came out of the closet. But I'm talking about being a Razorback.
He waited till J.L. Smith to get on the bandwagon. So, I mean, he fits in right with the rest of Razorback society.
Yeah. Oh, my God. My daughter even came up one time with a picture of me in a Razorback hoodie and a ball cap from about, oh, God, it had to been like from 85, 86. And it was like, she's like, look, Dad.
You're like, a fan once.
Where the hell did you get that? I thought I burned all those.
Well, let's move on kind of. You know, obviously we have a lot of fun with it. So, and we've seen in the previous little episode we did, the little 10, 15 minute one, and kind of part of this Q&A, you know, we're changing up the format of the show. We're kind of doing a different style. So what's kind of the future of the Bumpkin Bob Show?
Well, the future is going to be more of a, instead of an episode every Saturday of me just sitting here behind this desk yakking, we're going to start doing a monthly episode, and we're going to get out of the studio. There's going to be studio time, don't get me wrong, but we're also going to have some stuff out of the studio. We want to get out, do some interviews. There's some things we want to see and get filmed. Number one, so everybody knows, at some point, we're going to Clinton to see that damn natural bridge. That's
come
just,
hell or high water.
If you've seen episode one, you know all the story, and you know why we got to do it. But there's a deal held every year here in Arkansas called the Gambler 500, Gambling in the Ozarks.
We are still taking corporate sponsors for that. So business.
We're wanting to do that this year with a couple of drivers and a couple of teams and just get out of the studio and document some things around this state. There are some people that me and Luke both, he's got some people, I've got some people that we want to interview to do this exact same thing and either bring them in studio and do that or we'll go to them. So just changing it up, we're going to have some – probably as we get especially closer into the summer and really get this new format going, we're going to have some 5, 10, 15-minute clip things that are going to be on the Facebook page, YouTube, the podcast. Always remember to go check out the podcast. Now, the hour-long monthly episode will only be available on bumpkinbob.com, so you'll have to join to see those.
But we'll have more extras to put out in the meantime, so yeah. It won't be just members that get to view everything that we're doing.
Yeah, exactly.
So get a little bit of on your palate wet, and then you can jump into the full membership site and see the full episode.
And we've also got some plans to expand Bumpkin Media. There's some other shows with some other people that we're wanting to produce and put out there.
Yeah.
So well, hopefully that kinda, in the next year or two, that'll start taking place.
Well, that kind of moves us into, you know, we've had some people ask us, you know, what are your long-term goals with this? What are you hoping to do with Bumpkin Media, you know, personally, professionally?
Well, personally and professionally, both. We want to move into where we're doing this full time. And basically, we want Bumpkin Media to become the voice of the working man. I mean, basically, not pointing fingers, but I'm going to point fingers. It's like CNN's the voice of the liberals and Fox News is the voice of the conservatives, which me and Luke both are conservative. We're about as conservative as you can get. But we want Bumpkin Media to be the voice of the working man. You know, the guy that gets up, puts his boots on every morning and goes to work and builds this country. I mean, that's the guy we represent. And we hope in our broadcast, not only our comedic stuff, we're going to get into some more serious things, but we want to be his voice out here in the real world.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. So, talking about your past, a little bit of that history, how do you think that's really set you up for success? I mean, do you see yourself really kind of benefiting from that kind of upbringing, the kind of the working class mentality?
Yeah, I do, because I'm pretty much a minimalist, and I think it comes from my working background. I mean, my upbringing. I don't waste a lot of money. I don't spend money on things that are just frivolous, and I think that in itself will help lead to the success of Bumpkin Media. I mean, we're not gonna go out there and invest in things that have no meaning or there's just
no return
or just filler. We're not going to do just filler. That's There's no point in it. It's kind of like getting a tattoo that don't mean anything. You know, just going to the tattoo shop and picking something out of their portfolio and having it drawn somewhere on you. It has no meaning. I don't see the point in that.
Yeah. Well, we definitely want to make sure that, you know, we can preserve some stories, preserve some kind of the Bumpkin ideology, if you will. You know, and bring a little entertainment to everybody every month.
Now, I don't want nobody to take offense to the tattoo comment. I have tattoos myself, but mine have meanings. So
thanks for the plug.
Cha-ching.
Well, I guess that wraps up a good little bit of a lot of the questions that kind of we've been getting over the past several months about the show, about the background, kind of especially about our new direction. Is there anything else you kind of want to add to the viewers or any other questions that you think we've left out? I mean, we definitely want to do this again. So if y'all have further questions, send them to Bumpkin Army. Get on the Bumpkin Army Facebook page and submit them there, or just, you know, send them to us via any other method.
Yeah, I want to stress for people to go to the Bumpkin Army page and put your job site tales down. If you've listened to these videos and heard some of the ones I've told, I want to hear yours too. I love, you know, at breaks and lunch at work to kind of prod guys and get them to tell stuff. Now, and I'll be honest with you, I've been told some stuff that I went, that shocked me. It's like, oh, hell, I can't put that on the air. And it's like, because you will be amazed at some of the shit, literally, that happens on the job site. And it's just like, oh, my God.
Not all of it's rated for this program.
Yeah.
And we've gotten a lot email-wise, but we want them there in the Facebook group, on that Bumpkin Army group, so everybody can see them.
Yeah. And then, again, tell your friends, you know, Send your buddy over to bumpkinbob.com to join, and make sure you follow us on Twitter at the Bumpkin Bob Show.
Cool.
All right, y'all. This wraps up our episode for today. We want to thank Luke for being in front of the camera, not just behind the camera. He's pulling double duty today.
That's right. We're jumping back and forth.
He got the camera going and got all the sound equipment set to where we needed it, and then jumped over here in front of the camera and joined me for today. So make sure you catch every episode of the Bumpkin Bob Show. And until next time, this is Bumpkin Bob, and we're out.